Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. All right. Two things to keep in mind. This comes out, and I am able to walk around. If you're sleeping, I'm going to do this. Row number one, stand on up. Everybody stand on up. One of you guys is sleeping. The whole row gets to stand. Okay, now everybody sit back down. Now, it's really simple. You guys that are speaking, if there's a person that's sleeping, have the whole row stand up. Peer pressure is a great thing. I love it. So, all right. So now with that silliness in mind, let's turn to Luke chapter 8. Have a book, a Luke at Luke. Have a Luke at Luke. Interesting. Dr. Luke, interesting fellow, the way that he presents everything. And let me read to you verses 40 through 56. This is Dr. Luke writing the account of what he saw and knew of Jesus. And he says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man, Jairus, he was a ruler of the synagogue, fell down at Jesus' feet, besought him that he would come unto his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age. She lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a certain woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Immediately her issue of blood stanched or stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' And when all denied, Peter and they which were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue hath gone out of me.' And the woman saw that she was not hid, and she came trembling and fell down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" Well, let me stop there. Give thanks for our time. Dear Father, thank you for your word, the Bible, which will teach us great and unusual things. Appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus was having a wonderful month. He had gone around the area, around Capernaum and around Galilee. He had seen the great faith of the Roman centurion. Wow, and how his servant was healed just by Jesus' word. He saw the widow's son raised back from the dead. The sinful woman had anointed Jesus' feet, and now people were responding. Luke 8 opens with Jesus coming over the Sea of Galilee. He was rather exhausted. He fell asleep, so much so that the storm didn't bother him. But all of those the disciples naturally were very concerned. And so they woke him. "Jesus, don't you care if we perish?" He's like, be still. And then when they got to the other side, everyone started responding and coming to him. You see, the first thing is that here's an unusual question. I'm going to ask this. What would you do to fix what ails you? How far would you go to fix what ails you? Now, Jesus had no sooner gotten on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, but he was gladly received. You see there in verse 40, they were waiting for him. And this was a positive thing, not lying in wait. They were waiting for him. And these were ladies that were responding, because we find earlier in the chapter that there is all sorts of people. Verses 1 through 3, we see Mary, called Magdalene. She was there. That verses 1 through 3, it shows. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's servant. So who are you? Are you somebody that is had seven devils? Are you somebody who is of great importance in the palace? Wow. And then there was Susanna, and they ministered out of their great and small substances. This is interesting. The first thing that Jesus notes is, hey, thank you for your help. I really appreciate your kindness. I appreciate your kindness. You gave from what you have, and many people gave from what they did not have. I thank God for that. Now remember, your pastor, he lives off of what you give to God. So when you want to respond to Jesus and say, "Jesus, thank you for changing my heart and my life," you need to respond by giving to God. That's what the offering is. It's not giving to the television evangelist because you got a good feeling. No, it's responding to God. And here we see people were responding. They gladly received him. here we got two people involved. One is Jairus, and the other is that woman. That woman. Now, the thing about Jairus we know is that Jairus, oh, he already believed. You see, it said that he fell down at Jesus' feet. Ah, that's exactly what he did. Now, when you find that somebody stands up in Jesus' face, that's pretty clear what they are thinking of him. You find that a chapter earlier, Jesus had his feet anointed. Wow, when you see somebody on their knees before Christ, you find a devout person who loves God with all their heart. Now, this guy was a temple ruler. He was a lay minister. Hi, I'm Aaron. I help out. My friend Travis, he helps out. We'd be in the same category. We have different responsibility. As a person that's kind of a lay ruler, he might be in charge of making sure people get to their seats. And Dave, yeah, that would be his job, making sure everybody stays organized during church. Might be somebody in the audiovisual department. It could be anybody. So this fellow, his job was to work in the temple, in the synagogue. His job was also to understand what his job was. If Dave did not tell you where to sit and just let everybody sit in the aisles or sit up at the podium, he would not be, one, instructed. He would not, two, be doing his job. But Dave makes sure that everyone gets a spot to sit that's comfortable for him. This fellow, he was also responsible. I wonder if some of the Mosaic law was part of his responsibility. If you were somebody who needed to change up because you did not have a sacrifice big enough, would that be his responsibility? Probably. If you did not have the right sacrifice for what you were looking to ask for forgiveness from in the book of Leviticus, you'd say, I got a question. I want to give to God so much. What am I supposed to give? And he would say, well, this is what the Mosaic law says. He would also make sure that troublemakers and things like that were not allowed into the synagogue. Maybe somebody who was a butcher, a baker, a butler, and was working with contaminants. This is like temporarily stayed out of the courts. Well, now we come up with a second person. But before that, let's see. What did he do? Yep, verse 41, he says he fell at Jesus' feet, and he told the Lord what he needed. How would you like to have one child dying? Only one child. Now, this is not a big deal to most Americans because they never know who their kids are in any given day. But imagine somebody you love so much and they were dying. You couldn't do anything except for watch them die. And that good man probably had no idea. I've done right. I don't get it. Why? My daughter, why is she dying? I have to approach Jesus on this. So he goes and approaches Jesus. And he doesn't do it in a business-like fashion. He does it with all of his heart. He falls down and says, this is my need. Well, that's a pretty good approach, man. You're a temple official, a synagogue ruler. You're a respectful guy, but you know who Jesus is. So you're going to do what's right. Enter now a rogue person. Here is a woman who has had an issue of blood. Now, this could be that she just had a baby and unfortunately her body did not mend. Well, it talks about that in the book of Leviticus chapter 12. And then, of course, in chapter 15, it talks about other kind of blood issues. And these things are part of life. Now, we understand nowadays it's not a sin issue. Because you remember, Jesus was asked, who's responsible that this person was born blind? And that was in John chapter 9, verse 2. Was it because of him or was it because of his parents? And Jesus shakes his head, no, it's so the Lord could be glorified. It was that common belief. So here is this woman. She has a contaminant of blood, which means for the length of time that she is contaminated, she can't go into the temple area. And then there is a cleansing time, the length of the time time. So it's like compounded by compounded by compounded by. If it was childbirth and you had just given birth to a baby girl, you're talking 6 weeks before you can come back to church. If you're talking a baby boy, you're a month away from coming back to church. This is something for her. She has not been to church for a while. And what does she want? She wants to go to church. She wants to go to synagogue. She wants to be declared okay. If you are not able to go to church, it's not exactly a private community. Everybody knows everybody. Now, here's the thing. If you were walking around and you were known as that woman who cannot go to church, you would say, oh, she just needs to get things right with God. And it could be that she's gone to temple a couple of times and she says, please, there's nothing wrong with me. It's just my body that's a mess. And it's like, wow, our bodies are a mess. But some misunderstanding fellow, even like Eli the high priest, he misunderstood and airballed incredibly on Hannah when he says, you're drunk, woman. No, she was deep in prayer. And it was that kind of mentality she probably got all the time. Well, you know, you just need to get things right with God. I went to Bible school in Sacramento, and I had the dean of women, and that was her common thing. If you're physically sick as a female, it's probably because there's sin in your life. You need to get things right with God. Now, here's the thing is here she had wanted to do things right. She suffered. She had spent all of her money. And according to Mark chapter 5, verse 25, she became worse. And it was from the hands of the quacks, the doctors. Man, voodoo doctors could have done better than this. All they were doing is making her uncomfortable, embarrassed. And when it comes to me comforting my wife when she's not feeling well, I'm not very good. Now, if she says, Aaron, I'm going to pay you $20 if you could diagnose, is this dress okay on me or is it too big for me? Oh, I would be a fool to take that one up. But here's doctor after doctor saying, I'll give you an answer. And they only embarrassed her, make it worse, and they tell everybody the problem, and now she can't go to the temple again. Oh, this is just terrible. It's not good. And she's thinking in her mind, there's no solution. And then 12 years down the line, she has the healer from Nazareth come around. And she says, if I could just touch the hem, what's the big deal about him? If we go to Old Testament Numbers chapter 15, verse 37, it says, I want to command you, the Lord is telling you men, put tassels on the corners of your garments so that way it will be a reminder for all generations that you used to do wrong, do wrong, do wrong, and now you are separated from me. This was I have decided to follow Jesus tassel down at the bottom of your clothing. Look, I'm different. Look at this. Now, look at what she's looking to do. She's looking to, as a contaminated person, go touch somebody that is a regional leader. Let's see. If I was looking to touch somebody with the Ebola virus, and who's a regional leader? The mayor of Seattle. Oof. If I intentionally went up with any kind of, let's see how this would work. You okay if I touch you? If I sneeze and I want to touch you, you're going to back way off because it's like you have no idea what I have. But if you were known as that contaminated person, you were known as the person who is never allowed year after year after year because of your contaminant, and you're wanting to touch the healer of Nazareth. It is something that's so terrible that according to Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible commentary, said this is a negligent attitude, which is guilt of defiling the tabernacle and is worthy of death because of profane temerity, which means you have no regard for the laws of the land. And in that region, that's a death wish. Here this lady is saying, I want to so much, so much, so much, so much, so much go to church. I see that synagogue ruler. I'm more desperate than he is. If I'm going to get killed for trying, bring it on. Now, that's quite an attitude. If you're saying, I'm willing to die so that way God is going to heal me of my personal issue, What is your personal issue? Now, for her, it was a physical thing that kept her from going to synagogue. What's that physical thing that keeps you from learning about God? What is it, that thing? Is it a family member? Is it an addiction? Is it something in your house? Something that has been an anchor around your leg? The elephant in your room? How things were as you were growing up? Things that you just can't seem to get away from, can't shake, can't get rid of it, can't seem to avoid? It's always right there on your back day and night. This woman can tell you, I'm willing to do something borderline criminal. Are you willing to do something borderline criminal in order to be healed? I remember years ago, before I had met Alice, I was an adulterer and I was a sinner. And when I realized it was the computer that brought me to that, and I was judged by God because of my sin, and I was excommunicated, rightfully so, by the church that I was at years and years ago, that the first thing I said is, you are the reason I keep falling. Take that modem out of my computer, and I threw it away. And I lived without it as long as I needed until I understood that thing's not going to control me. I'm going to do something in my life that is borderline felonious just to make sure I don't let that thing control me. And sure enough, here we find this woman. She says, I just want to touch the hem of his garment. And she does. Now, she has no idea, even after she realized, my body feels different. Oh, and she was healed. Verse 44, she was healed, and it dried up that very hour. And we see that Jesus has to respond to that, because for those disciples who don't get it until after they understand later, after the day of Pentecost, they're like, oh, that's the reason why he made a big issue. Oh, he wants us to see what we are seeing right now. Here's that question for you. What are you willing to do in order to be healed from what ails you? What keeps you from learning more about God? I'm reminded of 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, and he says, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, from this woman's example, let me give you three things that you want to do. If you want to be like this lady, and you want to butt in line in front of that temple official, and you want to be healed before he gets his wish, and that's a pretty tall order. Number one, Hebrews 11, verse 6, be diligent, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Number one, admit your need. Yeah. Psalms 32, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, my iniquity I have not hid, and I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. May not be that. May just know I need help. I need help in my finances. I need help in my job. I need help with my car. I need help with my family. There's some things I have just daft. I cannot figure out. And then what does Jesus tell that woman? Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. That's it. Because Jesus says, well, not just here, but he says in verse 48, and the Apostle Paul uses that very same term. It's be encouraged is what we would say. It's 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. In Philippians 2, verse 19, well, the Apostle Paul is using that exact same term. Be of good comfort, which is like, hey, be encouraged. You have so much faith. Wow! Be encouraged. The Lord has heard that. Matthew gives that same answer. Be of good comfort. Be encouraged. Mark says that, chapter 10, verse 49. Be of good comfort. Be encouraged. Your faith hath made you well. Now don't live like you used to live. Be confident. Thank you, Lord. You forgave me. You dealt with whatever it was in my past. You forgave whoever it was in my past, whatever problem. And now I am encouraged, of good comfort. I am cheered. I am ready to go on. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to live like I was anymore, because I want something from God. I want something. Most people in their Christian life sit like zombies at most of the churches, especially the ones that I went to in California. I told my dad one time, I said, Dad, the dead live. They sit, they stand, they sing, they sit, they stand, they sing, but they never show signs of life. What's with this? They don't want, this woman wanted something so bad. She was willing, ready, and she did what she needed to do in order for her relationship with God to be complete. Now, one more thing for you to go is in Psalm 34, verse 6, I tell you who Aaron is. I agree wholeheartedly with David when he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I'm that guy. I'm that guy. I have troubles. I have difficulties. I know what it's like to mess up over and over again. I know what it's like to be that guy and say, oh, I'll cry to the Lord. I want him to save me out of all my troubles. Here's the question for you. How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go to complete that relationship with God, to fix what ails you? May God bless us this week as we go along. Amen. Thank you.